When you think about a parking lot, the old real estate adage about highest and best use might not be the first thing that comes to mind. But parking is actually a much more dynamic and nuanced business than you might realize. On this episode, we learn the ins and outs of lots and garages from a pair of the biggest names in the industry.
The parking industry is the greatest infrastructure business with recurring, stable cash flow. And that's why infrastructure companies love investing in parking.
That's Alan Lazowski, a.k.a. Laz, the namesake co-founder, chairman, and CEO of Laz Parking. Alan proudly lays claim to being the first valet parker at Laz when he started the business with his childhood best friends. 45 years later, they're still friends and partners and have built the largest parking company in North America, operating 5,300 lots and garages, over half a billion square feet of real estate, and employing some 21,000 people.
Parking supports every form of business and real estate, if you think about it. I mean, we're vital to sports arenas. We're vital to hospitals, universities. I say that if we closed the parking industry, the economy would shut down.
And that's Rob Zaritsky, president and CEO of Parkway Corporation, a 103-year-old, third-generation family business based in Philadelphia, a leader in parking management with crossover expertise in development and acquisitions of other real estate as well. Rob also serves as chair of the National Parking Association's Board of Directors. Coming up, we head to the NPA Annual Convention, its 75th, where I had the chance to speak and sit down with two of the best in the biz. So find a spot and we'll punch your ticket to the parking space. I'm Spencer Levy, and that's right now on The Weekly Take. Welcome to The Weekly Take, and I couldn't be happier to be here today at the National Parking Association's 75th anniversary event with two of the undisputed leaders of the parking industry, starting with Rob Zaritsky. Rob, thank you for coming out today.
Thanks for coming and doing a presentation. Great to see you.
Great to see you. And my old friend, Alan Lazowski.
Can't wait. You did a great job today, Spencer.
Thanks, man. Rob, I'm going to jump right into it, right? So you do parking, you do development of other buildings. How would you describe the parking industry to somebody who doesn't know anything about it?
Parking supports every form of business and real estate, if you think about it. I mean, we're vital to sports arenas. We're vital to hospitals, universities. I say that if we closed the parking industry, the economy would shut down. We're vital infrastructure for EV charging going forward. I think we're going to be vital to autonomous vehicles having staging areas and EV tolls, the flying taxis. We're a vital part of the economy. We provide a really important service and part of the infrastructure for transportation. You have planes, trains, buses, and cars and bikes and all other forms of transportation. And we play a vital role in our economy's movement and success.
Mm-hmm. And Alan, from your perch of seeing so many different parking garages, what is the state of the industry today?
So parking, as Rob mentioned, is an essential infrastructure element of industry, of central business districts. And I believe that we have the best distributed real estate network throughout the country in cities, and we happen to have 500 million square feet of space. And besides traditional parking, I think we're talking about what else we can do with that wonderful distributed real estate network. And Rob mentioned, we're now talking to people like Waymo and Zoox and autonomous vehicles about becoming the urban autonomous vehicle mobility hubs of the future. So there'll be a place to charge and store, and there will be all sorts of other uses besides just traditional parking.
So, Rob, let's talk about some of the technological changes that Alan brought up, the EV parking stations, before we get into alternative forms of development. But EVs are here. They're coming, maybe not as fast as they were, but they're still coming. But they're also heavy. I don't know if they're twice the weight of a typical vehicle. They're one third heavier. Tell me the pros and cons of the changes from gas to electric.
I think any form of transportation that makes transportation easier more efficient, more fun to get to where you're going in cities and towns is amazing and needed and coming. I did my first Waymo drive yesterday to the restaurant, and it was really amazing. It was a little scary, but it was amazing. And this stuff is coming, and I don't think we should be afraid of it. I think it's going to open up more opportunities for, and more importance for, the parking industry, because if there's 1,000 Zooks and 1,000 Waymos and 1,000 Tesla taxis in a town, you would have complete gridlock. They don't have a place to go, stage, and go from and to, and they're just driving around, clogging up, ruining, you know, destroying our infrastructure, our streets. We're in trouble. Your comment about garages potentially needing to be, if it was an entire fleet of electric vehicles, I'm not exactly sure the structures would have to change. We haven't found that yet. I mean, in some of the cities, we're probably parking 10% or 15% of the vehicles. The adaption in the cities has been greater, right? And we are the place, other than your garage at home, to charge. I mean, I think we do more charges than any other industry does, like gas stations, or we have Wawas where you can charge. So the parking industry plays a vital role. We're the new sort of gas stations for some of these vehicles. And that's important. It shows the importance of our industry. And I bring this up a lot because I feel like there's certain cities, Philadelphia, Chicago, San Francisco, where parking is really looked down upon. And we play just a very vital role. We're going to play a more important role going forward. And you need this inventory to succeed.
You said there's a negative connotation from some on parking. Why is that?
It's a good question. There's a narrative in certain circles that the parking industry is the cause of congestion or the cause of pollution. We get cars off the streets. We help to solve those problems, but we somehow get blamed. And then certain maybe politicians use that energy to raise our taxes and then make us even less viable as an industry. What we're trying to work on with the National Parking Association is to change the narrative. We're putting out position papers. One of them is that we're not against these, you know, there's parking minimums that used to be for new developments. And I disagree that there should be minimums, meaning if you build 100 apartments, you have to have 100 parking spaces. You don't have to do that. Some markets have more than enough parking. Why force the developer to build something that they don't need or is not going to get used? Mm-hmm. Use the parking, use the operators like Laz and other operators to manage your parking better, more efficiently. So you need less of it, but you need to manage it better. There's been a lot of advancements in our industry with the camera technologies. We'll get into that next, I think. But I think we've come like 50 years in the last 5 years with the technology that we have.
Rob, you opened the door to how technology has changed for the better in many ways, and not just the cars, but you said cameras and other technological devices that make parking garages safer, that make them more accessible. Tell us a little bit about some of those.
Yeah, the systems that we're installing now are all cloud-based systems. You don't have the servers in the closet in the garage going down. They can accept a multitude of apps. At Parkway, we're accepting Spot Hero and ParkWiz and ParkMobile. And our adaption of those are like doubling almost every year. It's incredible. We work with a couple vendors. Flash Parking is our main one. And they have just come out with a new camera that they've been investing in called Flash Vision, which I think is a game changer. It is giving us data about our own parkers that we are able to manage. And we have a whole host of different groups parking in our garages. And we're going to be able to negotiate better deals now going forward because of this new data. The transactions are now coming through these cameras, and they're accurate. We've had these cameras. I'm sure you have too, Alan. We've had these cameras for 7, 8, 10 years, and they were 80% accurate, 85%. And then, you know, so you're driving up to the gate, it would usually just open up and then it wouldn't. And you're like, oh, really frustrated.
Basically, through this computer vision AI technology, there's a seamless customer experience. And basically, when you pull into a garage now, instead of pulling a ticket and going to a pay station or rolling down your window and putting your key card out, we recognize the vehicle and the license plate. Good morning, Spencer. Welcome to the garage. Mm-hmm. By the way, your car's dirty. Would you like a car wash today? Mm-hmm. So we have just a great seamless customer journey that we created. Laz has created its own technology. We also work with Flash and others, but we've created our own technology where we have the LASGO Just Go technology, which is computer vision, AI, license plate recognition, which, you know, is just a game changer because you also get to know your customer and as a known user and a member, and you really get to have a relationship with them.
I remember the first time I met you, Laz, and I remember in that first conversation you gave me parking 101, and I want to do a little parking 101 here. And there's something you mentioned that in a dense urban environment, a spot may get used 110 or 120% of the time because the user is only there during business hours, and then you have after hours, so you might get it twice. Does this give us parking 101 of how often is a space used and how do you calculate that? How do you maximize the revenue from that one spot?
Yes, great question. And Rob knows this all too well because he operates tremendous operations himself. But our job is how do we fill that space 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Mm-hmm. And when you're in a downtown mixed-use environment, you have the monthly parker that may come to the office. You have the transient parker coming to visit somebody in the office. You have restaurants, you have shopping, you have events. That changes hour by hour, day by day, night by night. And so our job is to maximize the utilization of space. And some of these garages and lots do get 110, 115, 120% occupancy. And when you're in the real estate business, and you know the real estate business well, it's free cash flow. It's net operating income, right? And you base your purchase based on revenue and NOI and free cash flow. And the parking industry is the greatest infrastructure business with recurring, stable cash flow. And that's why infrastructure companies love investing in parking. You would think, well, apartments are a great business because it's one apartment at a time. Parking is one car at a time. And you could change that rate to fill your garage on the dime right away.
I just wanted to add something to what Alan said, is having 110% occupancy, that to me would mean having, you know, instead of 24 hours worth of revenue, you would be getting 28 hours worth of revenue. So I look at it a little bit differently as in turns. Using the spaces, you can't use a hotel room, I mean, legally, you know, more than once a day. You know, you can't turn a hotel room, I think you're not supposed to. But parking lots, really good parking lots, I'd love to get what you think. We some of our parking lots, we could turn 3.5 times. Those spaces. Yes. So you could have a little lot, you could turn, let's say, a 35-space lot with a medical use across the street, and then a restaurant area. You could get 3.5 turns in the daytime because the doctor visits are 1.5 hours, and then you could get a turn or a turn and a half at night. I mean, New York probably is the poster child for these types of business.
You can get up to 5, 6, 7 turns.
That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah. Is what were some of the best turning? Now imagine that, right? So you have one space.
You're selling the same thing 3 to 7 times in a day.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, and you're turning it on short term and probably high rates if you're in New York or in some of the cities. So it's an interesting business. Now most parking lots might support one generator if you're lucky. 1.5, 2, 3, you know, if you're near a sports stadium and a theater and this and that. And you were talking about just office space. That was our bread and butter, and things changed, you know, after the pandemic.
How are parking lots, parking garages valued today? And has that value increased because of the increase in so much infrastructure capital.
We have a parking lot under contract right now in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's at a 4 cap.
Okay.
A 4% return.
Now, this is a lot, not a garage.
This is a 2-acre surface lot.
Okay.
Okay. But we feel there's a higher and better use for that site with Waymo, Zoox, autonomous vehicle. And we're going to bring power to that facility, and we'll have 10 megawatts of power, and we'll create more value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what you look at. We look at lasification. Can we lasify that location? Can we operate it more efficiently?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we buy something at a 4 or 5 cap, and if it's a garage, maybe it's a 6 or 7 or 8 cap because it's already improved. But then we try to, through operations and efficiency, good technology and good management, maybe we raise that income 100 or 200 basis points.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got something that's a 7 or 8% unlevered return, mm-hmm. hopefully.
I'll piggyback on that. So we are actively buying parking lots across the country right now. And exactly to that point, if you can see additional operating value, you get a big kicker in that. The ultimate value creator for certain sites is a development. That is where you could buy it for a, you know, 7-8 cap and sell it for a 1 cap, right? And that's what we're trying to do, is finding those cities that are, you know, just starting to percolate up. If you can operate the facilities, I think last time I was with you, we talked about a couple properties that we just bought. They were not being run well. I'll make a pitch for a premium parking. Who we're working with at a couple of different sites. And
they're good operators.
It is manager to manager, as you know, city to city. But there's a bright young woman who is running this new acquisition for us. She's kicking ass. And it's signage. It's chasing business. It's using rate, you know, changing rates as they're filling up every
dynamic
single weekend.
Pricing.
And it's pretty interesting.
Well, let's back up on dynamic pricing. So when I go on the internet and I want to buy a television set, right? It's $100, maybe it's $500. 10 minutes later, it might be $510. The next 10 minutes, it could be $480.
Right.
Is that how you're trying to do parking costs today? It's not a fixed price, but it'll change throughout the day?
Well, as an example, when you have an event at night at a parking garage, it's not the same rate as it is during the daytime. It might be $20 or $30 or $40 for that event. During the day, it's less. The dynamic pricing has also happened in a limited way, not fully completely yet, I would say, in the parking industry. But based on demand, rates can and will go up.
So let's use an old school term for our listeners, which is the covered land play, which was the old school way of looking at parking lots. Like, oh, well, that's just another use waiting to happen. Is that still the case today?
Yeah, I give us even a little bit more credit, right? In some cities, they're redevelopment authorities, right?
Okay.
Some companies will buy obsolete old buildings that have no use anymore, tear them down, make a parking lot, hold that for a while, and then either develop it or get it ready for development. That is serving a purpose for cities, right? Parkway is one of the few companies that actually develops our own or with partners. We have partnered with, I think, 40 or 45 different companies in our history, and we have built medical office, hotels, office buildings.
Do you sell them afterwards or do you hang on to some of them?
It depends. It depends on our partners. Some of our partners want to hold forever. We've had partners literally for 45 years.
So what we're talking about, alternative use, and you know, they're the traditional alternative uses of putting up a hotel, an office building, a medical office. I mentioned industrial outdoor storage today, which is an area that has a squishy definition. But I will say this, and I said it on stage today, other than data centers, is probably the hottest subsector within real estate today. Have you seen that impacting anything?
I have. We just bought a company called Freight Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we're taking industrial outdoor space and doing truck parking and trailer parking. We're up to 65 locations. And there's a huge demand in this space for people that own industrial outdoor space and land that maybe they have a building, but they have a big parking lot and it's not being utilized. And there's a huge demand for storage, not only of the truck that's a transient truck, but people to store trucks and trailers. And we're doing it all over the country today.
Anyway, what I took away from that is IOS is a new phrase, and everybody knows what that is. Mm-hmm. We need a new acronym or a new name for parking assets that are land carried with optionality. And I don't know, maybe Alan, you can come up with a good
urban farming.
No, that one's well, not
you're
that one's not a
without the green, but yes, yes. But no, anyway. I think you're right. So, Rob, let me ask you a question. So, we have people listening to the show. Most of the people listening to this show are apartment people, they're office people, they're retail people. And you are one of the few in the business. So, I mean, Alan does some of it as well, but in the business that does multiple asset types. When you're trying to determine, am I going to do parking or am I going to build a hotel here or am I going to build multifamily? Tell us about your thought process.
Oh, wow. It's doing the math. It's finding if you're doing, we've done a couple hotels. If you have a location that is a no-brainer for a new hotel, it's making the math work. It's being able to get the financing and convincing yourself that it's the right time to take that leap. Development now is very risky and very challenging. Costs are higher, interest rates are higher, cap rates are not where they used to be. So the development has to really sing, and you have to feel confident that you're going to be able to get the supplies and get the labor and get the materials that you need. That's why we're finding that it's a great time to buy and to stock up on inventory with land, because developers, it's really almost impossible. There's a few cranes that are going to be going up now in cities, but it's nothing like it was 5 years ago. It was incredible.
Has the price of land dropped in the last 5 years?
Yes. I think owners are becoming more reasonable. And what happens is, let's say developers own some parcels and they may have performing apartment buildings that are completely to plan, right? Occupancy, rents are perfect. But they had planned to refinance it at a 3.5% rate. Now it's a 6.5% rate. So you have to redeploy that equity into those healthy projects. So I would love to buy your parking lot, and you can buy it back when it's ready or develop it with me. We love to partner.
I think parking is one of the great real estate asset classes, and we love buying parking lots and garages, maximizing the cash flow on that location while we're waiting for a higher and better use. And we just sold a piece of property that we had owned in Boston for many years, and a multifamily developer got entitlements for it, and we made a very great return, and we earned money along the way. So I love the parking business. I love real estate land banking with parking, and I agree with Rob. Now is a time to find properties and wait for the right time to develop it.
Going back to the capital markets for a moment, you mentioned, Les, that you're buying something for a 4 cap and you're trying to get a higher and better use, even get a better yield out of it. How liquid are the capital markets today? Are you able to go to just about any bank and get a loan?
Yes. Mm-hmm. People really look at parking as a very stable, good cash flow business. There's a lot of lenders that want to lend to parking. Mm-hmm. We have infrastructure groups. We have debt availability. We also have equity availability. Mm-hmm. To get into parking. And we love it as investment. We're not only operators ourselves, we are investors in real estate. We have a separate real estate company called Laz Parking Realty Investors that goes out and buys parking lots and garages. And we've been involved in the last 20 years in over $3 billion mm-hmm. of investment in parking.
Mm-hmm. Construction. I remember a few years ago, I was with one of our big clients who had an old post office in Boston. And they were taking it, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do external ramps on this and have flat floors so that one day when we don't need this parking, we're going to convert it into something else, right? Well, that didn't go over in like a big way. And the reason is it's very expensive to build external ramps. And guess what? We still need parking. So A, comment on that, and B, tell me about construction today. Are we building any today?
Construction costs are very, very difficult now, very, very expensive. Parking construction costs are equally difficult. They're above ground parking spaces could cost, you know, $50,000 to $70,000 a space. Below ground could be $100,000 to $150,000 a space.
Okay, so let's pause there, and we're now going to do math for a second here. So let's assume you're in the middle of that range, $100,000. You just built a space for $100,000. Probably took you 3 years to build it, whatever the time frame is, more or less. You now need to get a positive return on that $100,000 investment based upon how many times you can turn that spot. That's the basic math of this space.
100%. So you'd have to charge a monthly customer, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 a month, which is, you know, maybe there's one market, one garage that, you know. So the math does not work anymore. And if you're in a taxed market where you pay 40 to 60% of everything you collect before state and federal taxes, it doesn't work at all. So
is that, let's stop there for a second. I wasn't aware that, so let's assume you were monthly parking at one of these places that will pay $1,500 a month. 40% of that 1,500 goes to
local. That's only if you live in Philadelphia.
Or Chicago, or there's a couple of markets where it is literally that bad, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. a lot of the country, you know, Alan's lucky to spread his, you know, all over the country, two countries. But, you know, there's markets where, again, politics or whatever the reason is, they need the money or whatever it is, that it makes it impossible to replace parking. So you build millions of square feet of new demand. Mm-hmm. You're taking away, typically you're taking away parking because that could be a parking garage there or a parking lot there. And now you're replacing it with zero parking or a couple parking spaces. So you're increasing the demand, which is a good thing, but increasing the cost to park, which is good also if you're an operator and you're making profits on that. But it makes it very, very difficult to replace those spaces. I think that the policies of parking, you don't want cities to run out of parking. That's bad. You want public transportation to thrive. You want all forms to be healthy.
We just finished building a parking garage in Connecticut for a children's hospital.
And now describe the garage you built. It's slanted floors.
We built the hospital doesn't think it's a parking garage. They look at it as a piece of art, mm-hmm. because of how it was built and how beautiful it is. It has a bridge right to the hospital over the street, and it's a beautifully laid out 1,000-space parking garage. But it, as Rob was mentioning, that was a $70 million project. Mm-hmm. So that's $70,000 to stall.
Spot.
And if it wasn't essential for the hospital, mm-hmm. which they leased back from us, we own it and they leased it back, mm-hmm. because they need that for this brand new, beautiful medical center. So it's very difficult to make economic sense out of building a new garage unless you have an essential use.
How many of those spots have EV chargers?
We have 10,000 EV ports, mm-hmm. in our system right now. We're going to have 100,000 in the next few years. We're building capacity for 10 to 20% of those spaces to become EV for the future. And the issue is getting power to the facilities is a very important thing that we have to study. And
just to address your one topic of reusing, we have reused some of our...
When you say reuse, meaning reusing a parking garage.
Yes.
Okay,
for,
tell us
for
about that.
Office. So we built a garage in the 80s, and it was supposed to have two towers above it, two apartment towers. And the developer went out of business when we
ran
topped
out of money.
Off.
We've never heard that before in the development business.
There was a change in tax policy in Washington, and it killed that kind of development. Anyway, we're sitting with a garage that was way bigger than it needed to be. Luckily, one side of the garage had flat floors, and the ceiling height was enough, and we started to infill, let's say, 10,000 square foot offices, medical offices, mm-hmm. and we got probably an 80,000 square foot medical office out of that. So we pivoted, and that was not by design, that was by luck. So that stabilized the project. And then we sold one of the pads to a hospital. And then actually we built a tower for another hospital. And that's where my father mentioned we have three hospitals all coexisting in one structure. It's a pretty amazing project.
So just going back to the example I gave before, and we talked about the cost per spot in a garage, $70,000 to $150,000. If you were to do the external ramps, how much would that add to the cost? External ramps and flat.
It might not. I think there's more to it. Mm-hmm. I think cars, believe it or not, need less structure than people.
Okay.
Cars are lighter. It doesn't make sense if you say it that way. But filing cabinets, people, desks are heavier than cars because it's one car for a lot of space. A real lot of space, right? Ramps and all of this wasted space. The design of the flat floors, first of all, if it's very deep floors, that's not going to work for anything to reconvert. So you'd have to have design high ceiling heights, which is much more expensive. It's not just the external ramps. That's just a piece of the additional cost. And then you're dealing with other things.
One thing that's exciting about the reuse of parking, we're talking to people about vertiports. Building on top of rooftops.
Vertiports for a flying taxi.
Flying taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see electric vehicle takeoff and landing, fly like a plane, land like a helicopter with both cargo and people. And I could see in the future that there'll be 100 to 200 of these vertiports like FBOs in cities carrying passengers and also cargo. The garage could be a great storage place for last mile, same day delivery. Those drone packages come in, you could store them and deliver them. You could deliver them at different places within a city a lot easier. It eliminates congestion. You could do it with electric bikes or robotic delivery in the future. So I think the garage will become the urban autonomous vehicle mobility hub of the future, as well as vertiports as well.
There's a lot of talk today about the future of parking. Maybe, Rob, I'll give it to you first. The future of parking, both lots, garages, and otherwise.
Where does the industry go is a very, very interesting topic. When Uber started, 12 years ago, they were saying parking garages will be urban farms and parking lots will be parklets, little sliding boards for kids. And our banks came to us and said, what do you think about it? Is this true? And I was like, oh, shit, he's a really smart guy. I don't know. That's scary. And now there's more cars, more vehicle ownership than ever before.
Laz, future of the business.
I think there's going to be more change in the business in the next 5 years than there was in the last 50 years. We're really tech-enabled real estate. And I think we have the best distributed real estate. Parking operators have the best distributed real estate network in these cities. So when you think of the gas station of the future for charging electric vehicles, it's going to happen in cities, in parking lots and garages. When you think of autonomous vehicles needing a place to clean and store, it's going to be the parking garage. I think these vertiports are going to happen. I also believe that being able to satisfy the customer with convenience is key. And I think we're a wonderful service industry and we're essential to the ecosystem of transportation.
Well, on behalf of the Weekly Take, what a privilege today to interview two of the great leaders of the parking business at the National Parking Association's 75th anniversary, where I was privileged to give a keynote address this morning, the Winter Leadership Forum, starting with Rob Zaritsky, the CEO of Parkway Corporation.
Thanks for coming and thanks for having me.
And my old friend Alan Lazowski, CEO of Laz Parking. Haven't seen you in a few years, Laz, but it's just like yesterday. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. You're a gift.